You ever have a situation? Well, you're not a talk show host, are you? Maybe you might be a podcaster, but maybe Mike understands what I'm talking about. Mike Parsons. I love this. I just don't know if it's the right thing to do. Would you like to know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. I just saw on the screen that some representative, August Pfluger, a Republican representative, I don't know him at all, but responding to the multiple attacks on Caitlin Clark in the WNBA. I mean, there's a lot going on in our world. I am shocked that somebody is weighing in from this position as a representative. But be that as it may, he says, regarding the multiple attacks on Caitlin Clark, I'm putting the league on notice that if it keeps letting the violent targeting slide, they could find themselves facing a DOJ and EEOC crackdown for violating federal civil rights law.
That's a stretch. Yeah, so I think I know what you mean, because something should be done about the treatment of Caitlin Clark, but it probably shouldn't be Congress to be the one to do something about
it. I love the idea, but I just don't think this is the right place.
Right. They're not the right entity to do something about
it. Yeah. You'd like to think that the WNBA would wake up and smell the coffee. They so far haven't. But anyway, I just saw that on the screen, and I wanted to pass it along to my family of listeners here on WJR. Dr. Tim Nash has joined us a number of times. He is, of course, the Senior Vice President, Emeritus, Director of the Northwood University Center for the Advancement of Freedom, Free Enterprise, and Entrepreneurship. And his new book, Books and the Founding Fathers and Their Influence on America Today, Dr. Timothy G. Nash, noted Northwood University economist. Congratulations, Doc.
Thanks, Paul W. Been a labor of love with my co-author, George H. Nash. No relationship, but George is a well-known PhD in history who is an expert on a number of different thinkers, from Herbert Hoover to even going back to the Founding Fathers. And this was an idea the two of us had to take some work George had done and work I had done, combine it and talk about the fact that we formed the greatest country in the world 250 years ago. In September, it'll be the 289th celebration of the U.S. Constitution. Those two documents are the reason why we have the great entrepreneurs. We have the great economic activity. We're the world's most respected economy, and we're the light of liberty, and it's all because of the Founding Fathers and our ability to make economic progress and develop a system that would be the envy of the world. And so that's was the purpose of the book, to point out that capitalism is not a bad thing, and what the Founding Fathers produced created the greatest standard of living for the largest number of people in the world today.
Why? I'm throwing you a curveball right away here. Why has that message been lost on so many of the youth of today? How in the world could people be turning their back on capitalism and embracing socialism into communism? I think we dropped the ball on university campuses when we saw these things happening and didn't do anything about it. But I want to know your learned view on how we got where we are today and where we might be headed.
You know, that is such a great question, Paul. I know that when I was growing up, we were taught to love America, to believe in America, and not to be anything other than benchmarking to people that were successful. It didn't matter whether they were black, white, male, female, immigrant, five generations in the United States. If somebody was successful, that was the American dream, and you didn't want to do away with their success. You wanted to encourage their success, but emulate it so that you could have that lifestyle for your family. And, you know, I think we just don't teach what I was taught, what you were taught in grade school, junior high, high school, and university today. And I think that this book is a is an example of just putting out in hard, cold facts how America came to fruition, how we righted wrongs such as slavery and women's rights. And today, you know, one of the great hallmarks is just look at how many people want to leave the United States, give up their citizenship and go elsewhere. You hear of one or two people, you know, maybe every decade that do that, but we have millions of people, sight unseen, that want to come to the United States and be an American because they want the American dream as well. And yet at home, a lot of our citizens don't appreciate it, especially the youth.
I thought for sure, hearing from all these people that came to the World Cup, I thought one of the greatest benefits is hearing from these people who are shocked at how much they love America and Americans, and that they even say in their own words that the international media painted a very incorrect picture of America. I was hoping that would influence these people. It's not. It doesn't seem to be. And this is a book that they would do well to read, but we won't be able to get them to read it. People like you and me, people like my listeners will read it. We don't need it, but it's fascinating to read Books and the Founding Fathers and Their Influence on America Today by Dr. George H. Nash, presidential historian, and our friend and no relation, Dr. Timothy G. Nash, noted Northwood University economist. It is a timely reflection in our 250th, a timely reflection on liberty, learning, and leadership. And it tells a great American story. And I understand it even got a mention in a Supreme Court brief, Doctor?
Yes, sir. One of the endorsers of the book is former Vice President Mike Pence. And his attorney, Mark Wheat, is a person that has read the book. And George and Mark have been friends for a long time. And they read one of the preliminary copies of the book. And Mark Wheat came back and said he was going to put it in an amicus brief, meaning he's supporting a case in New York City where they want to take or constrain property rights of land owners in New York City. And so, you know, the Founding Fathers were clearly in favor of private property, protecting individual rights. And so they went thoroughly through the book and cited it in this Supreme Court amicus brief to support the enforcement of private property rights rather than the delusion of private property rights in New York that's being talked about on a regular basis today.
You connect the past to the present, reminding us that the relationship between liberty and learning remains as vital today as it was at America's founding. And there has been a problem, a disconnect in the learning, especially at our universities. Books and the Founding Fathers and Their Influence on America Today, co-written by our guest and friend, Dr. Tim Nash, Senior Vice President Emeritus, Director of the Northwood University Center for the Advancement of Freedom, Free Enterprise, Entrepreneurship. God bless you and congratulations to you, Doc.
Thanks, Paul W. Keep up the great work, sir. You are a beacon for this country.
Well, that's awfully kind of you to say. We continue in focus. Paul W. Smith, WJR.